Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Kathopanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
न जायते म्रियते वा विचा विपश्चिन्नायं कुतश्चिन्न बभूव कश्चित् अजो नित्यः शाश्वतोऽयं पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे. ए पैरेलल स्टेटमेंट कम्स इन द गीता. दिस सेल्फ इन यू न जायते इज नॉट बोर्न. देयर आर सिक्स भव विकारास. Six changes occur. First, birth. After birth of a baby, baby is named. Once the name has come, then you know who has come. Then, vriddhi, child grows. Now comes a greater transformation from childhood to youth. Afterwards comes aging process. And then finally death. These changes are called bhava vikaras, changes of the world process. But while your mind goes on experiencing the changes, it doesn't question to whom are these changes. Am I really changing? The I in you, the real you, does not change. But you are identified with the changing personality. Changes are in your body. Changes are in your three bodies. Physical body, changes can be seen easily. Subtle body, body where there is mind, intellect. The way of thinking, way of understanding, all goes on changing. Your subtle body goes on changing. Your causal body, which is backed up by profoundest, deepest impressions, even those impressions go on changing. But the real I am in you, the Atma, the Self, that Atma never changes. That Atma is never born. The one that is born is called Jivatma. Atma reflecting in the mind. Atma bonded with the mental process. Just like a reflected sun in a jar. That reflected sun is born. Put the water into another jar and it goes there. But the sun is the Atma. The reflected sun is Jivatma. The Atma is also known as Brahman, the Absolute. Your attention is being led to Brahman, the immutable, the absolute. That's what everyone is. And as such, that absolute self has no birth, no growth, no changes. This self is neither born nor does it die. It is not created by anything. Nor is the creator of anything. That's hard to understand for the mind, from the mental point of view. The mind is always thinking of something happening, something being created. That Atma does not create anything, and it has not been created by anyone. So you want too much recreation from your Atma. All actions, reactions, causation, time, space, causation, they all depend upon mental process. Mind must be there. Thought waves must rise and fall. And it is through the thought waves that you go on weaving the web of the world process. Through the thought waves you begin to experience the world. When thought waves subside, there is no world. That you have a little experience in deep sleep. Thought waves are subside. The cloud of vasana grips the thought waves in a strange way. So you are just not the body, not the mind, not even your ego. And imagine, if you do not go there, life will not be easy. You can mathematically try to figure out how much percentage of life goes into deep sleep. And all your recharging of your personality comes from the deep sleep level. If you go put your attention to a little higher, deep sleep is pointing to Brahman, the Absolute, where all things move away because you don't need them. They are illusions, just like whole dream experience comes to you. And when you wake up, the entire dream experience goes away. In the same way, the entire world experience has to go away. Day by day it goes away. But to the masses, death seems to be a great calamity. But whether it's calamity or whatever, it has to happen. But while the body dies, like your cell phones die. Energy that operates through the cell phone, that doesn't die. Your bodies die. But the soul, individual soul, that is blended with the mind, as long as the mind has not been fulfilled, the soul goes on moving for fulfilling the mind. Soul acts like a cloud. Cloud goes on defining the sun, obscuring it. Or, through the cloud, you see the sun in different ways. Cloud goes on defining the sun. That's like Jivatma. Jiva goes on defining itself on the basis of mind, cloud. But as you attain enlightenment, light begins to pass through the cloud. And the soul within you is not being defined by a cloud. The sun's soul discovers, I am the sun, not dependent upon a mind to define me. That's what happens. Each time after deep sleep you wake up, there's a time when you begin to think, who am I? Because in deep sleep you are undefinable. Now, when you wake up, you need to look at your fingers, yes, and you need to look at your toes, you need to understand who you are. Jivatma, freed of its leaning upon the mind, is nothing but Paramatma, the Supreme Self. Now, some of these special attributes of Paramatma need to be meditated upon. It is unborn. The self in you is unborn. The real I am. Whenever you say Paramatma, God, same as I am. The actual I am in you, not the ego I am. That I am in you is the God, the Supreme, the Absolute, one without a second, there is nothing else. Absolute consciousness, therefore unborn, eternal. It's not under the sway of time, past, present, future. Therefore, if your mind can imagine millions of years ago, so many things have happened. But one thing has not changed. You were there millions of years ago. Now you are. You, the I am, that never changes. Millions of years, that experience is the experience of the cloud, the experience of illusion. So therefore, eternal, term eternal needs to be worked upon, just like you work upon an onion, peel. But this is not onion, this is all kind of a layered sandal onion. Each layer gives you a special fragrance of homogeneous nature. Ajo nitya shashwat term. Shashwato yam purano. Shashwat. It implies presence of the Atman, the self, is homogeneous, not at one place more of God, another place less of Him. Yes. If you mix salt with water, then it's salty all over. Actually, that was an experiment given by gurus in old times to tell the disciple. One of the Upanishads said, bring water, bring a little salt, put into it. And he asked the student, sip that water from the top. He says, no, sip the top water from the down. And he asks, how does it taste? It's just the same. So that's an example of homogeneity. That's called Shashwat. God is homogeneous, absolute. In the morning, in the evening, when you are worried, when you are not worried, when you are sick, when you are not sick, whatever may be, where the world is full of war and hurricanes, or whether things are calm and with spring season, whether you have landed in Mars, God is homogeneous. You have not gone anywhere. There is no movement, there is no going, coming, there is no time, space. That divine self is ever-present reality at every moment. Therefore, your mind should not work with, am I in a sacred place? When will I go to a sacred place to become sacred? I'm trying to have a time. But that, from a practical point of view, I'm not negating the importance of your going to sacred places. But that is because the mind has not come to that state of enlightenment. But that's the goal. You go to different places, you don't go to satsangs, etc. Allow the mind to go on understanding. But when your understanding is perfect, then God is everywhere. The very ego in you subsides. Pure awareness, absolute awareness alone is. And nothing had ever happened to it. It is, was, will be. And that's a mental language, because is, was, will be is a mental language. Eternity is the reality. Purano, another word is used. Literally, Purana means ancient. Anything that you can't figure out how old it is. That is called ancient. Brahman alone is. Countless world systems come and go. The world of magic, Maya, comes and goes. Millions and trillions of years come and go. Creation and dissolution go on happening in the Big Bang of Lord Shiva. But Brahman is older than all that. Lord Brahman is beginningless. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Even when the body is destroyed, nothing happens to the Atma, the Self. You are walking with your walking stick. If your walking stick is destroyed, nothing happens to you unless you become emotionally attached to the stick. Try to think of that attachment and the miracle of attachment. Soul is attached to body by karmic process. The soul is dependent upon thoughts, sentiments, mental world. There are three bodies. You see, you have the physical body, then you have the mental body, mind, senses, intellect. Then you have the unconscious level. There are three bodies. All these bodies are known as deha. Deha, look. That's a joke. Body is meant to be burnt up. Physical body disintegrates, whether you burn it up or not. It's constantly changing. Subtle body, constantly changing. And ultimate goal is your mind should become unmind. Cloud must dissipate. As long as you have not fulfilled yourself, there is a mind. Each time there is a fulfillment, what happens to your mind? It relaxes. Imagine the highest fulfillment means absolute absence of all thoughts, disappearance of mind. So if you are a good thinker, think your way to thoughtlessness. And your causal body, which is a deep unconscious, that also goes on changing. As long as you are reincarnating, karmas change. So all the three bodies, they are called deha. They burnt. Each one burns. Physical body burns with physical fire. Subtle body burns with knowledge. Causal body burns with intuitive experience. But they are all going to be burned. Therefore, they're called deha. So while deha is subject to be destroyed, real you, not so. You are ever the same. Another name for deha is sharira. Shiryate means it decays. Because from ancient times, dealing with body, people thought two ways. Burn it up or let it rot in a grave. Physical body is constantly in the process of change and decay and disintegration. Subtle body also disintegrates. Causal body disintegrates and dissolves. So these two words are used, deha and sharir, both to remind a person that that's not you. Na hanyate hanyamane sharir. This body is destroyed. You are not. Hanta chen manyate hantum, hatash chen manyate hatam. Ubhautau na vijanito nayam hanti na hanyate. If anyone thinks that he is able to kill, the term kill confuses people. Scriptures use most vivid imagery. Ordinary actions, of course anybody can listen about. Your mind will not have that big impression. When we say, suppose someone is involved in creating a garden, and then there is a spiritual instructor shared, teacher is telling him, you are not the creator of the garden. Mind is not receiving as much impact as someone has been killed and you are told that no one is the killer and no one has been killed. Killing means it's all things that mind recognizes relating to changes that occur in the soul. Changes never occur. But whatever mind imagines, to put it totally in a different way, the illusion of doership and enjoyership. I am the doer. Without me, it wouldn't have happened. If anything has happened, it is I have done it. If it is negative, that one has done it. But the self doesn't come under in that level. The self neither does nor allows it to be done by somebody. Doesn't kill, nor urges others to kill. Killing is just a matter of changes that occur in the world.
Swamiji, you talked about thinking your way out of your thought process. When I think about my thoughts, I give more energy to them. How can I be thought free?
And similarly, when you karma yoga blended with bhakti yoga, dhyana yoga, that means four aspects of your personality have to go into the spiritual process: action, emotion, will and reason. All the four must work together, help each other in that project. And then, instead of highlighting the thoughts, again, that also, if you inspire your thoughts, that's positive. If your thoughts have been negative and now the soul within you is making it luminous, when the cloud starts begin to shine, put it another way, then cloud is going to dissolve. The only thing you avoid intensifying is a negative. When you think of negative thoughts, then you are giving strength to them. So there, vigilance comes in by sadhana. And also God's grace begins to help you. The process is a lifelong process.
Just observing the thought, will that also, is that a way?
That's called sakshi bhavana. Different attitudes are adopted in different situations. When thoughts are too many, and just observe, let them go. Like you are looking through a window in a plane, clouds are passing by. You don't even say goodbye. Just watch them. But again, if the lingering negative comes into your mind, then you adopt the mantra of 3S. Suppress, substitute positive, allow it to be sublimated. If anger is coming into your mind, then suppress. Say to yourself, I am growing in the image of Buddha. I have conquered anger. Anger doesn't belong to me. Thereby suppress it. And of course, you are substituting divine love. I am full of love. This may sound like hypocritical, but it's perfectly in order. Affirmation, positive affirmation is not hypocritical, because your soul is more positive than you can imagine. Ultimately, it gets sublimated.
Thank you, Swami. I was wondering if you could say a few words about the meaning of turning the other cheek, not just by an external response, but what that means in our internal response, and how we can practically navigate that and also defend ourselves against hurtful actions.
That's the whole topic of ahimsa, how to let your mind practice ahimsa, non-violence. And that's something profound. But beginning with, when someone strikes one cheek, turn the other cheek also. Tell him a strike here and feel happy about it. That's a very crude way of saying. Now, I will just give you another statement, because most things are allegorical. You take it practically, from a practical point of view, that will be simply foolish. If someone has struck one cheek and you are putting another cheek to be struck. But what is being led is what should be your attitude towards those who seem to harm you. How should you handle that? The scriptural statement is a saintly statement. Nindak nire, no, it's not that. Jo tokho ka tabu hai, tahi boi tu phool. Someone who has been inimical, he planted thorns in your way while you were sleeping or were away. He plants thorns right in front of your door. If he's more advanced, he can plant some broken glasses to injure you. You come, you are injured a little, and you figure out who did it. Normal reaction will be revenge. But the statement is, Jo tokon ka tabu hai, tahi boi tu phool. Stay quiet. When he is sleeping, bring the best of flowers that give wonderful aroma and plant it. Psychologically speaking, you are remedying his mind. Anyone who hurts you doesn't possess a healthy mind. Treating his mind in a positive way would be the most sensible thing to do, without going into much details. Your attitude towards others should be always, how can I help that person? Not this evaluation, this person is a demon, how can I throw him into hell? Instead, a sense of compassion. No one is happy when his mind is burning with anger and hate. It's easy for a person to have compassion when you see a patient suffering, coughing and sneezing and all that. When you find a person with terroristic minds and all type of mental aberrations, people don't have that compassion. But advanced culture requires that. You should understand the mind in a person is so tortured. So if at all you want to help, put it another way, if you really want to revenge against that negative, the disease. Hate the disease, but not the patient. In order to remove the disease, allow a positive work to emanate from you that will influence his mind in such a way. So the saying is, if someone has sown thorns and tahi boi tu phool, you sow flowers. And the person comes to realize that here is a man whom I wanted to hurt, and look how he has made my garden so wonderful. Now that feeling is the best revenge. It has shot into his heart. But here also there is a mystical meaning. Why should you ever think of revenge? The statement is, toko phool ke phool hai. If you sow flowers, for you there will be nothing but flowers. But for him there will be a trident entering into his heart. The statement gives you a kind of a crude idea, as if you have really revenged on your enemy. But revenge from a saint is to change his threefold world. The world you experience has three aspects. Who you are, what your attitude is towards the world, and the way you are interacting. All these three are to be changed. That's why Lord Shiva holds a trident, Trishul. In Vedantic philosophy, we hear about triad, consciousness that has become trapped in the threefold illusions. In your dream, what happens? Your consciousness has gone into three lies. Dream subject doesn't exist. Dream world doesn't exist. The interacting experience doesn't exist. So the best thing to happen is all the three to cut down. So if any negative person tries to hurt you, a saintly person tries to remedy his disease that goes three ways. Bhava-vyadhi, disease of the world process. I led you into many big areas.
Thank you.
All that is not easy, but that's what challenge is there in life. Yeah.
Thank you. So at what point do you feel that one can protect themselves?
No, the question was not protecting yourself. You have to put it in a context. You are protecting the self. If you are thinking about a situation where someone is coming to hurt you physically, it is all. You should leave no stone unturned to save yourself.
Thank you.
No waiting to ask the question at what state I should run away from this.
I'm glad for your answer.
So, Swamiji, if around the same subject, if you are in front of anger or just letting, you know, there are persons or situations and it's all anger, and you can be standing still and just listening, just as a listener. It's a little bit tragic, no? When you're in this situation.
Now you have to simply figure out. Mm-hmm. If you have the choice to move away, immediately move away. You are in a train and in one area there is lots of anger is there. Close the door, move it to the other compartment. But if you have no choice, then sit down and make yourself as quiet as if you are a stone, a wall, a chair. And so, when you have not shown any reaction, you are in a better position not to be drawn into it. Called upeksha, indifference, cold indifference. But while you are with that indifference, do your japa, relax. But there can be a situation, everything depends upon the context, where you can say something if you have that type of ability, and that then you can say something to avoid, to bring peace in that atmosphere.
Because all that is happening is that you're trying to just remain the mind calm. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's just hearing the other's anger towards any other things. So you just stay there. And in somehow you're changing them. Not changing, but somehow you're just...
No, don't think of changing, etc. Changing, etc., that's in divine hands.
Exactly.
So all that you do is how to face a situation and live through it in a better, best way possible. All things pass. Okay? And with this, I will conclude. Om Shanti Shanti.